You're listening to the Parkside Christian Church podcast. Here at Parkside, our mission is to love God, love people, and help others do the same. To learn more, visit ParksideChristian.com.
I want to just jump right from there. I know all of us are at different points in our story. And so even before we talk this morning, a lot of us will hear the goodness of God in other people's lives at a moment where we're not at that spot in our story. And so I just want to tell you, if you're going through it, if you're going through the thick of it, and I've gone through some tough things and heard stories of people celebrating the goodness of God and just kind of been done. Like, you know, God, I don't see your design. I don't see your design that I can surrender to. If you're going through the thick of it, just realize that it's not the end of your story. And we have plenty of moments that feel like the end. We have plenty of moments that feel really final. But yeah, my prayer for you is that you would continue through your journey and experience God's goodness in unexpected ways. And that's been what's been true of my life as well. So thanks, Jeff, for sharing that story. And we're excited for him to get the chance to baptize his son, second service. So this weekend, we had Superstart for our elementary students. My son had the chance to go to Superstart, and they got to have some fun. We got some pictures of that, I think, there, too. They went bowling, Parkside Bowling Party. They had a great time. They were at Lakeside Christian Church with Christ in Youth for the weekend. And the theme this year was unscripted. We can see some more of those pictures, having some pizza. Let's go one more. There we go. They're worshiping at CIY Superstart. The theme was kind of where we were just a second ago. Life throws you moments where there's no script to follow. You can let your emotions take over, or you can stop, pray, and look to Jesus. He's been in our shoes, felt our emotions, and can guide us through. He'll never let you down. So they had a great time, and I'm really excited that they were able to go and take part in that, have fun, but also spend time worshiping God. Sounds like it was a great time. I'm glad they were able to do that. We're in the midst of the Gospel of Mark. We've been going through the Gospel of Mark, and we're really just asking Jesus, Lord, help us to see who you are. Help us to understand even more who you are and how you want to reveal yourself to us. As Mark writes his gospel, he's introduced us to the story of Jesus through John the Baptist. He's shown us Jesus' great deeds and how he amazed people with his teachings. And today, in chapter 4 of Mark, he will let us peek in to Jesus telling his disciples all about what his kingdom is like, Jesus' kingdom. We've spent several weeks seeing that the religious leaders have missed out on who Jesus is, and as a result, they've missed out on having Jesus transform their lives. And now, Jesus is going to pull his disciples, disciple meaning student, he's going to pull his students in close, and he's going to call class into session. He's going to teach them who he really is, and he's going to do that through stories. He's going to tell them a series of stories, and these stories are called parables. Parables come from the Greek word parabole, literally meaning putting things side by side. In Greek rhetoric, parables were used in argumentation to clarify, prove, or cause something to appear livelier, to illustrate something. Rabbis would use parables with a wider audience. They would tell this story to a wider group of people, and then later they would explain the purpose of the parable to a smaller group of their students. Rabbinic parables explain passages of Scripture or illustrate an interpretation to a passage. They would read a passage, and then they would tell a parable. And the Gospel of Mark contains a total of 8 parables, and Mark 4, where we're at today, is got 4 of them within it. So half of the parables within the Gospel of Mark are in this chapter. Where and how a parable is shared within the Gospel sheds a great light into what the author is trying to tell us about Jesus. So the fact that Mark has placed these stories all together here is really interesting. Jesus often uses parables to highlight and illustrate his teachings, and they also allowed him to stay true to his mission while he was still teaching and preparing his followers. So let me explain what I mean by that. Jesus's mission on earth was to die for mankind. He was going to be our atoning sacrifice. He was going to redeem us. But if Jesus shows up and everyone discovers who he is, no one's going to crucify him on a cross because everyone's going to want to crown him king. And so Jesus had to come with this purpose, stay true to this purpose, but he also had the purpose of preparing the church to bring his kingdom to earth after he went back to heaven. And so he used parables, like we'll see today, to get his disciples ready while also staying on mission. His first parable in Mark 4 sets the stage for the rest. So he begins Mark 4 by telling this parable about a farmer. And the farmer is going through his field and he's sowing seeds. And as he sows seeds, it falls onto different types of soil. The first, it falls on the rocky path, and obviously seed isn't going to grow well on the rocky path, so it never grows. And then there's other seeds that fall into thorns, and they grow at first, but then they're choked out by the thorns. And finally, there's seed that falls on good soil, and it takes root, and it grows, and it has a harvest several times over. It's healthy, it's strong, and it produces something that's useful. In the parable of the sower that Jesus starts Mark 4 with, we aren't the farmer. The purpose of the story is we're not the seed, we're the soil. Rodney L. Cooper, in his commentary on Mark, says, "This first parable is the key to the other parables. It does not describe the kingdom of God as other parables do. Rather, it describes the condition of the hearers." Jesus is asking his audience and asking us today, what kind of soil are you? Will you let the word of God take root in your life? Or will you be like the rocks or the thorns and not let it take root in your life? Will you let it change you? The answer Jesus gives his followers is in his second parable. He asks them what the purpose of light is. And this is where I would like for us to open up. If you've got your Bibles, you can open up to Mark chapter 4. We'll have it on the screen too. But we're going to start in verse 21. He asks them what the purpose of light is. Verse 21, he said to them, "Do you bring a lamp in a lamp to put it under a bowl or a bed? Instead, don't you put it on its stand? For whatever is hidden is meant to be disclosed, and whatever is concealed is meant to be brought out in the open. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. Consider carefully what you hear," he continued. "With the measure you use it, it will be measured to you and even more." Let me say that again. "With the measure you use it, it will be measured to you and even more. Whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them." Do you cover up the lights in your house? We're finishing our basement right now, and part of finishing our basement is deciding where the lights are going to go in the basement. And we have to think, like, okay, where are the dark spots going to be in the basement? Where do we need to add the wiring for more lights? The purpose of installing lights in your house is to make sure that your house is lit up so you can see. Jesus is framing the parables that he's telling for his students. He's saying, do you cover up a light so that you're in darkness? No, you let it shine so you can see. Let the word of God illuminate your life. Some of Jesus' audience are allowing Jesus to do just that, and it's transforming their understanding of life. Others, though, are trying to cover up the light so it doesn't shine on anything. Psalm 119, 105 says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." Jesus is saying, use the light I'm giving you to see where you should go and what you should do. And then, after Jesus says this, we reach this culminating moment of the first section of the Gospel of Mark. Earlier I said that we kind of cut the Gospel of Mark into two halves, the first 8 chapters, the second 8 chapters. But here in chapter 4, Jesus in his teachings begins to reveal something that is very important. Jesus begins to teach about the kingdom of God. In his book, Kingdom of God, Kingdom of Heaven, H.N. Ritterbaugh says the kingdom of God is the central theme of Jesus' preaching. He continues, on the most basic level, we may say the kingdom of God is present wherever the kingdom or wherever the king is to be found. What is the kingdom of God? It is where God has authority. It's where God is in control. And Jesus is saying the kingdom of God is here. Both Mark and the Gospel of Luke use this phrase, the kingdom of God. And if you've been reading the other Gospels, you might have peeked over into the Gospel of Matthew and seen that the Gospel of Matthew talks about the kingdom of heaven. And you might go, okay, what are these two things? Well, they're actually one and the same because Matthew was writing to a Jewish audience, and the Jewish audience was not in the habit of regularly saying the name of God aloud. And so they would have written this down as the kingdom of heaven just out of respect to God. And so it's actually one and the same, but the Gospels talk consistently about the kingdom of God. John the Baptist comes on the scene saying, the kingdom of God is at hand. Hey, it's near. And Jesus says, it's here. Let me tell you what it's all about. Let me explain to you what the kingdom is. In Jesus, the great promised kingdom has arrived. Jewish people would have expected that the Messiah would bring the restoration of the kingdom of Israel, but they were witnessing firsthand not the restoration of Israel, but the restoration of the entire existence, restoration of all things, an even greater kingdom. Consider with me for a while how the kingdom of God breaks into our reality in the most visible way of all human history in the life and works of Jesus. Earlier in the series, I talked to you about how we believe that the Gospel of Mark was read aloud. That this was, they were trying to get the story of Jesus out as quickly as possible to followers and to new people to be able to hear it. And so it might sound crazy, but they read it the whole thing all together. And that would have taken just about an hour, which when you think about things is, you know, what we dedicate to a TV show all the time. What would it be like if you this afternoon read through the Gospel of Mark, but you spent time contemplating, asking God each chapter, God, what does this chapter teach me about your kingdom? Teach me about Jesus' authority. The kingdom is now, it's here, Jesus has arrived, but it's also not yet. It's presently here because Jesus is the coming king, and where he is, so is the kingdom, but it's also a future kingdom because the kingdom of God will make all things new. I make this distinction for two reasons that I just want to share real quickly. One, because you look around any day and you notice that there are things that we wish the kingdom of God or God's dominion would take care of. Things that are not okay that we wish were okay. And I think it's important for us to note that that's not a lack of Jesus' authority. It's not that Jesus' kingdom is breaking down or falling apart. It is that he is honoring mankind's free will. And so while we have the freedom to choose, there is brokenness that will exist. And so God's kingdom is here and it's advancing, but we obviously see that there's areas where we wish the kingdom would be more established. And the other reason that I think it's important for us to realize the kingdom is now, but it's also not yet, is because Jesus is ushering in and announcing the powerful announcement of this kingdom, but part of the mission of the church is also to advance that same kingdom. This is our responsibility. He taught his disciples to pray, your kingdom come, your will be done. Let's see how Jesus describes this kingdom I've been discussing. Mark chapter 4, 26 through 29. He also said, this is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scattered seeds on the ground. Night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. All by itself, the soil produces grain, first the stalk, then its head, then the full kernel in the head. As soon as the grain is ripe, he puts the sickle to it, because the harvest has come. Daniel L. Aiken, in his book Exalting Jesus in Mark, says that this is the only parable that's unique to the Gospel of Mark. This is the one that doesn't appear in Matthew, Luke, or John. This is the one that Mark is sharing, and so it's very interesting for us to look at it and go, why does Mark include this parable, and for what purpose does he have it in Mark chapter 4? Jesus crafts a second parable about sowing seeds, and in the parable of soils, the focus was on the necessity of sowing and the receptivity of the soils. Here, in this parable, the emphasis falls on the power of the seed. The Word of God has within it a power of its own success and triumph. Let the Word of God loose and watch it work. In this parable, the kingdom of God is the seed, and we've just got to keep scattering the seeds. I love this parable. I love this parable because Jesus is showing us the power of the kingdom. It says that the farmer doesn't know how it works. The farmer's working hard. He's casting seed, but even while he's sleeping or whatever else he's doing, the seed is growing on its own. What's Jesus teaching? He's saying the kingdom of God is going to grow. You just got to let it loose. And Mark puts on another parable alongside the other three that paints even more of a picture of what Jesus' kingdom is like. This is verses 30 through 32. Again, he said, what shall we say the kingdom of God is like, or what parable should we use to describe it? It's like a mustard seed, which is the smallest of seeds on earth. Yet when planted, it grows and becomes the largest of all garden plants, with such big branches that birds can perch in its shade. This parable starts off with two questions. The last one being, what parable should we use to describe the kingdom of God? What can you put alongside the kingdom of God? It's like Jesus is saying, words fail me. There's no story I can tell that can adequately express what the kingdom of God is like. I quoted Daniel Aiken's commentary earlier, quoting it again. Likewise, from a small and meager beginnings, the kingdom of God, God's kingdom will expand and grow for all to see. What began as the smallest becomes the greatest. And it says that even birds will be able to sit on its branches and be in the shade. I think those birds that are in that parable represent all the people and nations of the world. What started out as this small seed will be something that all of us can come in and come under and experience the goodness, the shade, the protection of the kingdom of God. In Mark chapter 4, Jesus tells four beautiful parables, two that make us consider if we will let his teachings change us, and two showing us what the kingdom of God is like. But what keeps popping up in those parables is this seed that is growing, this promise of what is growing. God has blessed us so generously, we want to let him take root and grow in our lives. Denver talked about this earlier in our community spotlight time where we were talking about things going on. He talked about live generously. Jesus' teachings about his kingdom, his mission, they've captured our imagination as a church. Jesus is the reason that Parkside Christian Church exists. We want to be committed to being generous with his story. We had this renewed emphasis of living generously with the grace of God in 2021. We said, hey, this is who we want to be. This is what we want to do. And we picked up with this metaphor, this parable of seeds. In 2021, we gave all of you wildflower seeds. And it was this idea that, you know, wildflowers are easy to take care of. You just throw them on the ground and these beautiful flowers grow with hardly any work at all. Hey, we want to be busy planting the love of God in other people's lives. Last year, in 2022, we gave you all acorns over the summer. And it was the idea that these acorns become mighty oak trees. But in order for them to become something strong and mighty that lends its shade to so many other creatures and things, it needs something to take care of it. In the beginning, it's incredibly vulnerable. The heart for us as a church to live generously flows out of the heart that Jesus had for all of mankind. Matthew 9 has been the heart of Live Generously. Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." The opportunity's there. God's growing things. We just need to be a part of the work that he's doing. We need to have compassion like Jesus has compassion. Some of you have on your car keys little key tags that we gave out earlier last year that have 1 Corinthians 3:7 on it. That follows the same parable, the same metaphor. Neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who makes them grow. And you might say that that minimizes what we're doing in God's work, but for me, it's a huge encouragement. I've been known to mess things up. I've been known to screw things up. Hey, Matt, it's not about you. It's about you watering. It's about you planting. But God is the one who makes things grow. God is the one who's doing something incredible. And so we did. We challenged ourselves as a church in 2021. We said, hey, we want to be generous with every time, talent, and treasure that God's given us. And in 2021, it was so neat to see as people went above and beyond their normal areas of service and dedicated 25,000 plus hours to investing their time, talent, and treasure with others. Denver has talked about different ways that we're trying to be generous as a church. One of the ways that we decided that we wanted to be generous as a church, you know, we've got this debt, this mortgage that we're trying to strike off the books, to get rid of, to get out of the way so we can do more ministry, but we don't want to wait to be generous. We don't want to wait to be active in the kingdom of God till we get rid of this debt, so we started something called these Live Generously Grants. A major hope and prayer of Live Generously was to awaken the imagination of each and every person within the Parkside family. We wanted all of us to ask ourselves the question, what can I do to help spread the good news of Jesus to others around me? And too often, the creative spark, we have the idea, but we don't have the financial freedom to do it. Or what happens is because we don't have financial freedom, we've snuffed out the creative spark of going, what could God do in our midst? So we prayed for God to awaken our hearts and minds so that we could help others discover the kingdom of God is here. We wanted to be like the man in the parable that we just read that didn't know how all the seeds worked, but just kept scattering them, knowing they would grow. Since 2021, I'm happy to say that Parkside has awarded nearly $50,000 in Live Generously grants. And it's been some incredible stories. You can actually, right now, you could stop listening to what I say and you could go on to parksidechristian.com and apply for a Live Generously grant and submit it before the end of the service was even done. In 2021, we awarded several Live Generously grants. Rhonda Headley was one of the recipients. She said, "I want to write 365 letters in a year, letting people know that they were more loved, more valued by God than they could even imagine." Orlando Hale and National Network of Youth Ministry was also a recipient of a Live Generously grant here in Cincinnati. His grant allowed him to more easily serve in Cincinnati public schools, and he's sharing the love of God with students and administrators in dynamic and powerful ways. In 2022, we gave out even more Live Generously grants. One of them, we partnered with Sweets and Meats, Kristen Bennett, and we got together and we said, hey, let's provide a meal for all the staff and administration of Sands Montessori and Mount Washington Elementary School. It's been a hard couple years. We just want to let you know how much God loves you. The kingdom of God loves you and cares about you deeply. Todd Calloway was a Live Generously grant recipient in 2022. He nominated that he wanted to take relief to the tornado victims in Goshen, Ohio. And he was so passionate about it, he wanted them to have gas cards that were at gas stations that they had access to, so he drove all the way up and used his Live Generously grant funds to take supplies and to buy gas cards. And some powerful things happened. The kingdom of God, disaster relief in action. Nancy Richardson, who's one of our campus hosts, was a Live Generously grant recipient, and for her, she was in the building every week, and she was watching different support groups come into our building, and one of the groups that is in our building is Narcotics Anonymous, and she said, you know what, I don't want them to just feel comfortable here, I want them to feel cared for here, and so she and her small group used their Live Generously grant funds to make a meal for one of the NA support group meetings. You're not just welcome here, you're part of the family here. The kingdom of God is for you. Come enjoy shade under its branches. Gail McLaughlin, who helps lead Princess's Ballet, this wonderful group of people who provide dance lessons for girls in our community here in our building, they got a Live Generously grant in 2022 that was for Bibles for all of their princesses. That's what they call their students. Hey, you're not just God's masterpiece. We want to let you see how that you fit into God's story, how you fit into the kingdom of God. This year, we've already awarded two Live Generously grants, and we have more that are coming. One of them is a grant that we awarded to Becca Kaplinger and Interparish Ministry. Interparish Ministry over the summer helps provide food and power packs to kids to help meet the gap that they're experiencing in food necessity after the school year gets out. And she said, hey, let's take care of a week's worth of meals for kids in our area, and let's also include a note about how God loves them. I love that. And then the other Live Generously grant that we awarded this year already goes to Zach Dye. He interned with us this last summer, and he's going to graduate from Indiana Wesleyan University this year, and he's going to be coming back to Cincinnati to work with Fellowship of Christian Athletes. And that's going to be incredible and powerful, and we want to be a part of launching that as well. But this morning, we don't want to just talk about Live Generous grants and being a part of the kingdom of God. We actually want to be busy in helping make that happen. So we've got special guests here this morning. Guys, give it up for Young Life. We've got several Young Life leaders. We've got Trinity. We've got Kenny. We've got Sophia. And we got somebody that snuck in last minute. Will, I'm sorry that I just let out of the bag that you were late this morning. He wasn't late. He was just the last one that was on time. So here, come on over even more, guys. We have a special surprise for you guys. You applied for a Live Generously grant. If you all aren't familiar with Young Life, they do small groups for students, and they engage students that normally might not come to church. Here, I'll give you this, Trinity. You ready for that power?
No.
You got to hold it up when you say no.
No.
Okay, good. But you applied for a Live Generously grant so that you guys could have donuts when you guys meet together, right?
Yeah. So every Tuesday morning, we bring donuts to the high school and just, like, greet the students at Norwood High School with the donuts. And, yeah.
So Trinity, I think you guys know, she applied for a grant to take care of these donuts. And we actually have some donuts for you. We've got some. There we go. We've got some donuts for you. I don't think this might not take care of the rest of the year, but I think your Live Generously grant will. It'll take care of those donuts. It'll be one less thing for you guys to worry about. There you guys go.
Thank you so much.
We are so excited about what you're doing. We want to pray for you because you guys are incredibly talented, incredibly gifted in the work that you're doing, and it is so meaningful what you're doing. You are living out the parables that Jesus taught and how you're investing in kids and planting seeds in their lives. So I asked Rachel if she would pray for you guys. Trinity, will you hand that mic off?
And
everybody, I want us to be praying for the seeds that they're planting, the work that they're doing. It is tireless work, and there are not a lot of thank yous. So let's support them. They're going to be hanging out after service, too. This is not just a financial grant. This is a grant of saying, hey, Parkside's family is behind you. So, Rachel, will you pray for us?
Yeah, I will. All right. Let's pray, guys. Hey, God, I thank you so much for Norwood Young Life, for Trinity and her team, just for their willingness to step out of their bubble, to step out of their comfort zone and reach these kids who might have never been reached out with the gospel before. And I just pray that as they work with the school, talk to the administration, start their campaigners and just everything that they're doing, that this grant to take donuts once a week, that this little touch moment can be really big in these students' lives. I pray that you let just really good conversations start from these moments of handing out donuts, and just that many students will come to know you through this act of service and act of love. And we just pray for the Norwood community, and just let this be a pretty huge impact on their community, just a small step in the school and just getting connected. And we just pray for the team that they stay strong, stay encouraged, stay healthy as they go out and love on these students, go to games, hand out donuts, have campaigners, and just let them feel encouraged and loved here at Parkside. God, we love you, and it's your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Give them another round of applause. If you want a donut, you know who to talk to. Thanks, Rachel. And I think it's incredibly cool. I mean, Young Life leaders are so gifted, and they're in a season of life where it would be so easy to say, hey, I need to focus on myself. I need to take care of things on my end of stuff. But they've decided to focus on others, and it's especially powerful, too, to know that Trinity has been invested in by Rachel for years, and to see Trinity turning around with her team, investing in others. That is what Live Generously is about. That's who we want to be. I mentioned earlier in the service that one of the parts, one of the goals, one of the aspirations of Live Generously is that we would get this debt out of the way. We spend $170,000+ a year just paying for our mortgage each and every month. And so I just want to celebrate another thing with you. This is so cool. Our mortgage is now under $800,000. It's down all the way to $763,000. Parkside, you don't know how incredible that is. In the past 2 years, Live Generously has come up with $347,000. And on top of that, special gifts from you all, not just to Live Generously, but to debt reduction, has paid $758,000 toward the debt retirement. It blows me away, because it blows me away for this reason. We are on pace now to retire the mortgage by Easter 2026. That is 3 years earlier than previously scheduled. And I don't know if you noticed this, okay? In 2 years, through your generosity, through your sacrifice, we've come up with $758,000 in debt reduction. I don't think it's going to take till Easter 2026, because the mortgage is just at $763,000. I think in 2 years, we can knock this out. And this isn't about money. This is about stewardship. It's about caring for God's kingdom. We want all of Parkside to live out and tell the story of Jesus. Let me tell you the story of Jesus. Let's live the story about a church that pursued the kingdom of God. Let's live the story about a church that planted seeds everywhere they went. One of the guys in my Thursday morning Bible study, he works as a lifeguard at the YMCA, and he introduces himself as Rev J. And the reason he introduces himself as Rev J, the reason he works at the YMCA as a lifeguard, he doesn't need the money, he doesn't need the job. He wants the opportunity to pray for people and to tell people the story of Jesus. Let's live a story about a church that tells and lives kingdom stories every chance they get. Let's be a people, Parkside, that wants to tell others the story about how Jesus has changed our life. In Mark 4, Jesus says, with the measure you use it, it will be measured to you even more. If we want to experience the generous grace, if we want to experience the power of the gospel of Jesus, what he came to do, we need to use it, Parkside. What will we do with the word of God? Parkside, let's get busy telling stories. We're going to enter into a time of communion now. And as you grab the communion, if you hadn't grabbed communion yet, it's on the tables in little plastic bags around the room. Don't feel bad if you need to grab them. That's fine. But in Mark 4, it says that those close to Jesus, Mark 4, it says that the people that were close to Jesus got to hear him explain his parables, that he would tell a story and then say, let me tell you what this is all about. Who let Jesus' light shine brightest in their lives? The people that were closest to him. And that makes sense, right? If you listen to Jesus' teachings and think to yourself, there is something about this man that is different, then let his light shine brightly on you. Be one of the students who sits close to him so he can tell you all about his kingdom. Be transformed and watch as God's power generously flows through you and transforms your community. Be close enough to Jesus that you can share a meal with him. Sit closely as he breaks the bread and pours the juice so that you can hear as he explains and lets his light shine on your life. Let his roots go down deep and transform your life so that it can transform and provide shade for the lives of those around you. Parkside, let's continue to be and become even more so a church that lives generously. Let me pray. Lord, we pray that in this time of communion that you would speak to us. And Lord, I pray that there are dozens of Live Generously grants and Live Generously stories in this room that people would walk out of here and take your bread and juice with them, and they would live out a story, live out your teachings in a way that transforms our neighborhoods, transforms our families. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening. You can stay connected with us throughout the week by following Parkside on social media. To learn more, visit parksidechristian.com.